The Tome Show presents Blood of the Gorgon. Well, that's right, guys. This is a new little side show to the Tome called The Tome Show Presents. And in the next several episodes of The Tome Show Presents, we will be talking about Blood of the Gorgon, the most recent project from the Open Design Project. You've heard me talk earlier to Nicholas Logue, and you've heard me talk to Wolfgang Bauer about what the Open Design Project is and what's happening with it. So on this special series called The Tome Show Presents Blood of the Gorgon, you're going to find out what it's like to be a patron on an open design project. The idea was, I had a hard time wrapping my head around the idea of the open design project. So I talked to Wolfgang, and I talked to Nick, and we and some other people over at Open Design, and we came up with this idea that they would give me access as a patron to this open design project, and then I would do a series of reports of what it's like to be involved and what the process looks like, and do a series of interviews with people involved in the project. So in this episode, you're going to hear from Nicholas Logue. In the next one, I plan to talk to Wolfgang Bauer, and then we'll talk to Nick again one other time. And we will also talk to some of the patrons and find out what they think about it for the last couple shows. So along the way, I'll also be giving my thoughts and opinions about the process and what it's like. Now, we're maybe a month or so into the process really going, but nothing much has happened yet on the open design project Blood of the Gorgon. What we've been doing mostly so far is a lot of brainstorming. Nicholas Logue has posted on the LiveJournal site several different questions or several different pieces of text or design essays of these are some thoughts or these are some things that you can do as a DM and that kind of stuff. And then patrons are leaving comments in the blog saying, oh, what about this? Or why don't we go this way? Or wouldn't this be neat? And that kind of thing. And then Nicholas is sort of taking all of this in and using it to come up with ideas. And then we're now at the stage where writing is just going to get going. So, my initial thoughts. If you are going to be an open design patron, then you want to be somebody who likes to read blogs and likes to comment on blogs, because that's where everything is going on right now. You also sort of have a situation where, yes, the author has a lot of control as far as what's going to happen and what's not going to happen and what he thinks is a good idea and what's not going to be a good idea. But at the same time, you also have a little bit of the mob rule situation going on, right? So you do sort of run the risk of putting money in to be a patron and then having it turn out that what everybody else thinks is cool is not what you would want to do. And so you might have the project going a different direction than what you would prefer. Although, if you keep an open mind about things, I mean, ultimately, you still have a ton more input into a project like this than if you were to just buy a module off the shelf, right? Where you have no input other than voting with your dollars for a book that you don't really know what's in it until you buy it. So you do end up with a lot more input. I just sort of get the feeling that it's a lot cooler for some people whose ideas are used a lot than it might be for other people who aren't. But again, we're very early in the process, so this is all just sort of speculation at this point. I'm not going to talk too much more now. Those are sort of my thoughts as to where we're at right now. It's been a lot of fun. It's been really neat to sort of be able to see behind the curtain as to the design process and the brainstorming process, and I really look forward to seeing where it goes in the next couple of weeks as the writing actually starts happening. I'm going to jump right into a bit of a chat that I had with Nicholas Logue about where the design project is at so far and what Blood of the Gorgon is shaping up to be. And I think you'll be really impressed and very happy with the way things are going. I mean, this is something that I think if you have the cash or the money aside to do something like this, I think it's worth doing so far. But you'll keep hearing more from me, and we'll keep discussing how this is going. So without any further ado, Here is myself and Nicholas Logue.
We've got Nicholas Logue back here for this special segment of The Tome Show Presents, and we're going to be talking about these first several weeks, I guess, of what the new Open Design project is like from his perspective as an author working on this for the kind of thing for the first time, and maybe get a little bit of feedback going the other way towards the patrons now that they've been so good to provide him with lots of new ideas. Well, Nick, welcome back.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me, Jeff. This is awesome.
So we're going to have several of these special episodes to sort of serve two purposes. It's going to help patrons get a little bit more information about what's going on and be a little bit more involved with the Blood of the Gorgon project. And it's also going to, for non-patrons, it's going to be sort of a glimpse on the from the inside to let people know what it's like to be a patron on the Open Design project. So that, because it's a little difficult to grasp, you know, mentally, to get your head around without actually experiencing it. And so I'm in the trenches there reporting embedded from the battlefront.
There's blood all over you. Just Gorgon's blood all over you. It's
all
great.
Over the place.
Awesome. So we get a little expose here. It's like
that's
you're
right.
You're a wartime journalist.
That's right. Only
fantastic.
Only sitting in my basement rather than out there in an actual, you know, dangerous position.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
No one should have to be out there.
Although my basement isn't real safe either, so.
That's right. You don't know what kind of mold grows down there in those basements.
So
yeah, it's dangerous.
So, Nick, how long have you been actually writing for the Blood of the Gorgon project so far?
Cool. Yeah, right now we're in the blogging phase, which means I'm kicking around ideas. We're brainstorming. So it's been about, I think we've been doing that for a month now, a little bit over. And this phase, the actual writing of the project doesn't begin until March 1st. So we still have a couple of days of just pure bloggerific madness, at which, you know, I hurl out brainstorms. I hurl out little fragments of what may or may not become part of the adventure, and people kick back ideas, and those things morph and change and become something glorious after everyone sort of puts their own personal stink on them and personal touch. So that's what we've been doing for the past month and a half. It's been a blast, and we'll continue doing that even after I start the actual writing of the piece. I hope to, you know, share little fragments of the manuscript with people, get their eye, get their, you know, feedback as we go. I'm a kind of writer who doesn't really mind making changes all the way up to the last minute. So even though the actual design process begins in a couple of days, I'll be very happy to be kicking things out to the patrons while I'm designing it and getting their feedback all through the process there and making changes as we need to do. So far it's been awesome, and I can't wait to get to the nitty gritty of the design. I've sort of tried to clear my plate March and April without too many projects there so I can make this a priority.
Great. And so far, a lot of what we've been seeing on the Open Design blog is these design essays. Can you speak a little bit about what the purpose of the design essay is?
Cool, yeah. So Wolf basically commissioned me to write 5 design essays in addition to the actual project, Blood of the Gorgon itself. And so what we do is we ask the patrons, usually the senior patrons have the most say. You know, we have patrons and senior patrons. The senior patrons have the most say as to what the topics of these things will be, but everyone can kind of chime in what they'd like. And then what I do is I write up a, you know, 2,000-word treatise, as it were, on a certain aspect of game design or of DMing, usually the, you know, a little bit of both. And so far we've requested a design essay on mysteries. How do you write and pull off an effective mystery at the gaming table? And so I wrote a little essay called The Mystery of Mysteries and threw that out there, and it's people have been chiming in and all adding to it as well as commenting on it, which has been a lot of fun. The design essay before that was written pretty early on in the process before we had a chance to ask people what they wanted. So I took a page out of my own book, being a guy who's involved with theater and playwriting and screenwriting. I decided to take a look at the elements of playwriting and screenwriting and how that could be useful to a game designer and a dungeon master at home. And so I slapped up a design essay that how we do it on the silver screen or how we do it on the stage and how that can be useful structurally to someone who's designing their own adventure for their gaming group or designing one for, you know, for publication.
Great. So as you post these design essays, you do tend to get some feedback on the blog through the comment system. How much does that then play into what might show up in the module?
Oh, totally. A lot of guys, like for example, the mystery one, a lot of guys posted back that there was certain elements that they particularly liked from the design essay that they were, you know, would hoping would resonate through and relate to Blood of the Gorgon. And other people also added new elements to the whole idea of running a mystery that I totally am stealing because they're awesome. So I'm like, oh, it's a great idea. I'm stealing that, and you'll see that in Blood of the Gorgon. So it's a fun process. The back and forth of the blogging is it's unlike anything I've ever done before, and it's proving to be even more fun than I thought it would be from the get-go. I love getting the feedback, and with the design essays, the feedback is particularly useful because what tends to happen is by reading the essay, it sparks, you know, everything from the bloggers, you know, the patrons' own thoughts on these topics, to sort of, you know, nostalgia of, you know, some anecdotes from their own games where they used certain elements or certain techniques to get the desired effect. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And a lot of other people are like, that's great. I'm stealing that for my game. So, you know, it's been neat. It's kind of like being part of the biggest gaming group you ever could imagine, you know, and just rapping about it. So it's cool.
Good. So, and then the other thing that you've been doing is gathering some, I guess, there's been some polling and then just brainstorming some ideas for what's going to be happening in the adventure. Can you give some examples where the feedback of the patrons has directly influenced the direction that you're going to go with the module?
Oh, definitely. What we tend to do is I throw up some brainstorms, and then, you know, they brainstorm around, and once the brainstorms solidify into a bevy of ideas, we slap up a poll. Wolfgang and I slap a poll up there so people can vote for the ideas they really think are the strongest or the most interesting, and then those are the ones that make it into the module. One of the things I was really excited about when I started off this piece was designing a cult, you know, a dark, underground, terrifying religious cult. That, you know, but not designing it by myself, but rather designing it, you know, with the patrons' help. So one of the polls we did was all about the cults, was, you know, what are their motivations, and also what kind of creatures are, you know, does it revolve around? You know, is it a cult of Rakshasas? Is it a cult of vampires? Is it a cult of humans? You know what I mean? Humanoids. And so the blogging process with the patrons proved especially fascinating in this particular one. Because some people were kicking out neat ideas that were completely original. For example, one patron, Jeff LaSala, who is himself a very accomplished game designer and a novelist, kicked out the idea for a blood hag, a hag that, you know, draws upon the power of blood and is disgusting and stuff. And so people loved that idea, including myself. And I was like, this is great. So now it turns out that creature is playing a big role in our cult, thanks to all the blogging we did and the patron feedback. So, yeah, it's been great. You know, really original ideas pop out of these things, and then we get to poll, and you really see, you know, what separates the awesome ideas from the not so awesome when you poll. You know what I mean? It's good times.
Great. And you tend to get quite a bit of feedback from some of these. I noticed you listed one where you posted some text that looks like you're aiming to actually show up at some point in the module, and there's over 100 comments in that one posting.
Yeah, that's the blood hag post, right? The one that's the records of Justicar Verdane, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that I sat down to do a blog post, and I was like, you know, I really just want to talk about the blood hag since the idea was kicked out there. So I came up with the idea of like this sort of evidence file that, you know, was taken from a magistrate's, you know, his old files and scrolls that has to do with a blood hag attack, you know, sort of an eyewitness account of a blood hag attack. And so I wrote this thing up and slapped it up there, and yeah, people, you know, had great stuff to say about it. What was fun about that was it was like fiction creating game mechanics, because I didn't, you know, necessarily have any strong ideas about what the blood hag could do or about their ecology yet. When I wrote that, I was sort of free writing this fiction about the blood hag. And it evoked an interesting response from people where they were like, maybe the Blood Hag can do this because that's kind of suggested in this fiction, or and other people would be like, that's cool, or they'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool, but maybe it could also do this. And so, you know, we got really great ideas about how the Blood Hag, what the Blood Hag's relationship to blood is. Does the Blood Hag need blood? Does it just use blood, you know, and like, why does it prey on people? What compels it to do so? All sorts of interesting stuff. So it was a particularly cool post because it got a lot of people really involved on all angles, you know, fiction angles and game mechanic angles. So we had a really neat and lengthy discussion about Blood Hags.
Great. So with all the brainstorming that's been going on so far, what can you say about the direction of where the module is going? Sort of what is the genre that's sort of developing out of this whole thing?
Cool. Yeah, since it's a pretty large module, we're definitely spanning genres a little bit. We have 50,000 words to work with. What I did was I slapped an outline up there, and people have responded to the outline. And in general, you know, people are very interested in the mystery aspect and very interested in the underground, you know, sewer crawl against this horrible cult, you know, that definitely has an element of horror to it, but also has an element of classic, you know, D&D sneaking into the cult's lair. One idea I kicked out there that a lot of people really dug is the idea that they're infiltrating the cult more than they're just kicking in the door and fighting the cultists. So there's a lot of interesting elements to the adventure where, you know, it's not necessarily about go there and crush these people as much as it is. You need to find out why these things are happening, so you kind of have to get on the inside first. And that's how you can you know, learn the truth about what's going down in the city. So there's definitely a large mystery element and a large horror element to it, you know, as well as you know, some great pulpy, you know, sort of action adventure scenes. We talked a lot about adventure locations, and one thing that people like is a mechanical clock tower, you know, where maybe the climax of the adventure may take place. You know, where there's gears churning and there's, you know, like chimes that are Papa Man's eardrums, you know, blaring out into the night while they're battling these horrible foes all through. So, yeah, you know, a good mix of pulp action adventure with mystery and dark horror is kind of what's evolving from what people seem to want. So,
you bet. And a lot of the imagery that at least that's coming up into my mind almost has horrific steampunk sort of feel to it. You know, several times you described creatures or things with, you know, tubes hanging out of them and chemicals pouring out and that kind of thing too.
Yeah, we're definitely going for like a Victorian, you know, scientific age, burgeoning scientific age meets horrible magic and alchemy kind of element to it too, which is really cool. Yeah, you have tubes and you have Tesla coils and, you know, morgue-like body lockers and all sorts of crazy experiments being done. The main bad guy of the adventure named Silas Armand is, you know, a very, very scientific man and, you know, also completely deranged. Very much has a mad scientist kind of feel to him along with his kind of Jekyll Hyde aspect. And yeah, his... we did a whole post called The House That Blood Built. That's about like his demence, which will definitely be one of the adventure sites of Blood of the Gorgon. And yeah, people had great ideas, you know what I mean? Like all sorts of ideas about what could be included in his laboratories and what kind of experiments he's working on and how his kind of Victorian apartments are, you know, accoutrementated with things. So it was very cool stuff, but it's definitely getting a gothic, you know, a gothic feel to it, which I'm digging a lot. I always like those kind of themes, the romantic themes of the gothic age, and it's very cool.
Yeah, yeah. And you've also you mentioned how one of the things that the patrons were really grooving on was the idea of infiltrating this underground cult thing, and I imagine that creates a bit of extra work on your part in terms of finding ways to convince characters that that's what they need to be doing instead of kicking down the door without necessarily making it look too much like railroading.
Totally. What I like to do in those situations and what I'm doing with Blood of the Gorgon, which is fun, is you can't offer you know, just one way of dealing with things. So what I kind of do with any adventure that has sort of a non-traditional take on it is it's still a completely viable option to break down the door and slaughter everything. but you try to offer the party interesting and also enticing opportunities to do otherwise. So, you know, because who wouldn't want to, you know, get inside first and figure it out if they could, you know, if they have that option available to them. But you have to make it very clear that they can do that. You're exactly right. So we have one thing that helps is we have a lot of encounters with cultists who are sort of turncoats. You know, who are, you know, probably earlier were very interested in where the cult was going. And since Silas Armand has taken it over, have what's this crazy interloper doing with our cult? You know, maybe just what we need to get rid of them is this band of heroes, you know, who are interested in finding out why these murders are happening in the town. So there's various NPCs that the PCs get approached by or can track down that are willing to help them infiltrate the cult, you know, and things like that. So as far as giving them reasons to do so, a great one to do, which I haven't decided if I'm using it or not, I should probably put a post up about it, is hostages. That's a great way to make sure that people don't just smash in the door and start slaughtering people. If you know that they have someone that you need to keep alive, whether it's a loved one or whether it's a very important figure in the town, like the mayor, you know, who's being held by these people, you need to get close to them. You need to be able to free them first before you start wreaking mayhem on everyone so that they don't, you know, catch a blade in the back or an arrow in the eye while you're doing your gritty business there. So that's probably one other methodology I'll offer to the DMs when I write it that, you know, makes it more interesting for the PCs to have to kind of sneak in as opposed to just brutally smash their way through.
Well, and you've got that really interesting angle that you talked about that sort of with the NPCs that you were talking about, you sort of have an enemy of my enemy is my friend sort of situation.
Totally.
And it leaves this really interesting window open where what if you do get rid of the big bad guy? Does that mean the cult's going to go back to their old ways?
Oh, yeah.
And continue to be a problem?
Oh, yeah. And you know that the enemy of the enemy is thinking the exact same thing. You know, then it becomes a fun game because those NPCs that are helping the PCs, they're only helping them so they can get their cult back. And you know, you got to know they're planning to betray you. So then the trick becomes, when do you betray and who betrays first? And, you know, who's willing to hold out longer on it to get, you know, to get inside. So that will also be an interesting element of the adventure is that once the PCs infiltrate the cult and, you know, learn what they need to learn about Silas Armand and potentially deal with him, then, you know, there's great hooks for future adventure. Or it could even be wrapped up in this, in Blood of the Gorgon itself, which is, you know, uh-oh, here come these cultists who now, you know too much. You have to be put to the blood, you know? So, yeah, once you've infiltrated them, you can't ever leave.
Sure.
Very Hotel California going on there.
Right. So. Or, you know, you've just successfully defeated the big bad evil guy up in the clock tower. You're on your way out after the victorious mission, and you find that the tower's completely surrounded by all the cultists, and they're ready to take you out.
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely going to happen. So, yeah, always good stuff. In general, when I design a module that I want to be more complex than just your standard dungeon crawl, I love the idea of factions. Factions with really, really interesting and murky goals. Because when you set this up, you automatically induce interesting role-playing because, you know, the best option isn't necessarily to try to slaughter everybody. You may be able to get your enemies to turn against each other as the PCs. And the PCs have to be very, you know, aware of the kind of compacts they're getting involved with. I always love the theme of dancing with the devil you know to catch the one that you don't. You know, and I use that a lot in my home games. A lot of the PCs, whether I'm running D&D or Shadowrun or Marvel Super Heroes, somebody always has contacts who are working on the wrong side of the law or who are working just for horrible means, but they're just not as bad as the other guy. So you got to deal with them because you need to know what they know, or you need them at your back in a fight, something. So, you know, I love that concept where you have to sort of make alliances that you really don't really necessarily want to make, but you have to, you know, strange bedfellows kind of situations.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, great. Sounds like we've got a good idea of what's been going on and what your mindset is as far in going forward. We're getting mm-hmm. right into the point now where coming up in the next few weeks, you're actually going to start writing then?
Yeah, I'm slated to start cracking away at the manuscript March 1st. So I have some pieces of it I've already been playing with a little bit, but I haven't really devoted my full, you know, dementia to it as of yet. That happens March 1st. So probably this Sunday or Monday, I'll really dive in and tear it apart.
And at that point, is the blog still the place that patrons are going to want to be looking?
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely still be blogging. What I'll be doing is, I know senior patrons get more. They'll get more more access to pieces of the manuscript and stuff. But patrons will still get plenty. I'm still going to be putting up, you know, interesting NPCs so that I can get feedback on them. I'll be putting up new monsters, fully rendered new monsters with their stats and with their ecology and everything up there so that people can sort of chime in and say what they like and what they don't like. I'll be putting up, you know, all sorts of interesting stuff, new items, maybe different adventure locations that are, you know, that I, once I've got them fully written up, I'll slap them up there so people can give me their 2 cents on them. Yeah.
Great. So is the blog then, through the whole process, the place that people need to be going, or is there somewhere else that they should be checking out too?
The blog will definitely be where they want to be. In fact, I my take on it is that I think the blog will become a lot more active once I start writing, because I may just start throwing stuff up there much more often. Right now, I kind of wait till I have a really good idea that I want to brainstorm, and then I slap it up there. But once I get to the nitty-grit, I hope to actually increase the output on the blog. It's still going to be the place people want to look, definitely.
Okay, good. So last little thing here then. Do you have any suggestions or any feedback that you would give to the patrons sort of to help them help you?
You know, everyone's doing wonderful. I really love what I'm getting back from people. At the very beginning of the process, we had some stutter steps, mostly because I didn't know what I was doing because it was completely new to me. But so what I did was I kind of laid down some not really ground rules, but guidelines of how I like to work. And the way I like to work is I like to slap up something that's a brainstorm. So, you know, it's not going to be what the final thing of the module is, even though it may seem like it is, you know, like the Blood Hag post that I put up was, you know, edited and written as if it were, you know, fine-tuned fiction. But I may throw that whole thing out. It doesn't really matter. You know, it's just something to use as an impetus to really jump into some fascinating brainstorming. To me, brainstorming is always the most fun part of a process. So for the blogging, anything I slap up there is not written in stone. And I think most of the patrons know that, especially because I, you know, after the first few stutter steps, I made it pretty clear that, you know, don't worry about what I put up here. It doesn't necessarily going to be exactly what's in the module. It's just something to get our brains working and moving. So, yeah, just keep on throwing out ideas. No idea is too stupid. That's my best advice to the bloggers. You know, just put out anything you want. The fun thing about a brainstorm is that there's absolutely no censorship. There needs to be no editing. You're not writing, you know, full-on product as of that point. So I love to hear absolutely every perspective on things. And in fact, if some people hadn't been putting up all the perspectives, I wouldn't really know what they want. So I really appreciate that. Never be afraid to post. You know, post everything you want to post. So
great.
Yeah.
And how long after you post something do you go back and check comments? I mean, if something's been up for a month now, are you still going to go back and look and see if there's any new things there?
I tend to look at the more recent blog posts more. But if I'm missing something from the older posts, a good idea is just to message me on LiveJournal. You know what I mean? Like if, for example, you're posting about the outline, which has been up for a long time, I may not be scrolling down every time I check in to check the outline posts. So definitely if you have something, you know, a good way to get my attention is to post to my comment, because if you do reply to my comment, I get sent a message right away. So I go, oh, great. And I click right over from my email and then I can, you know, respond and vibe back, you know, based on whatever was written there. So that's one way to do it, is reply to my comments if it's on an older blog post. Or, you know, shoot me if what you have doesn't really fit as a reply, you want to start a whole new comment, do it. Just quickly shoot me a message, you know what I mean, on LiveJournal, on my LiveJournal account.
We're going to wrap that part, this little discussion, up for now. But
awesome.
We are going to talk to you again probably in a couple weeks, maybe a month or so, for another one of these little chats and see how things are going at that point.
Fantastic.
So if anybody has anything they want me to talk to you about, or any questions they want to talk me to talk to you about, they can shoot me an email at thetomeshow@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to save those and collect those so that when we talk again, I can bring those questions out.
That's a great idea to get a little Q&A going. That'd be fun.
You bet.
Awesome.
And thanks for being on, and hopefully all the patrons appreciate it, and hopefully the Tome's normal listeners are getting a good insight as to what's going on over at the Open Design Project.
Right on, man. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me back.
Okay, well, that was my chat with Nicholas Logue. Next up, I'm going to be chatting in a couple of weeks. I'll be chatting with Wolfgang Bauer and getting his side of how things are going and what it is that he's doing in this process. He's done a lot more of these open design projects than Nicholas has, obviously, since this is Nicholas's first one. So it'll be interesting to see where he thinks things are going to go and how this process works. This has been the first episode of The Tome Show Presents, this one being The Tome Show Presents Blood of the Gorgon, and I thank you all for joining us. And I hope that patrons of Blood of the Gorgon are getting something out of these. And at the same time, I hope that non-patrons are listening to this, since it is going out on the regular Tome feed, and finding out a little bit more about what it's like to be a patron in the Open Design Project so that you can better get a handle on things and decide in the future if being a patron on the Open Design Project is something that you're interested in. So, thanks again for joining us on The Tome Show Presents Blood of the Gorgon, number 1.